Section 4. The Nebraska Property Tax. Background. Nebraska's property tax is an ad valorem tax which is imposed only by local governmental entities, except for a small amount levied at the state level on certain utility-use property. In 1966, an initiative petition was added to the Nebraska Constitution to prohibit levying the tax at the state level. The property tax is an annual tax which is levied on real property, and with certain exceptions, personal property used for the production of income. By mandate of the Nebraska Constitution, all taxable real property is assessed uniformly and proportionately. By statute, all taxable real property is assessed at 100% of actual value, and, unlike some other states, Nebraska does not allow different types of property to be separated into classifications and assessed at differing percentages. The only exception to this rule is agricultural property, which is currently assessed at 75% of actual value. Agricultural land that has a greater value, if used for a purpose other than agricultural use, qualifies for special treatment under what is called the Green Belt provision. Nebraska law permits special value, which is 75% of its value in agricultural and horticultural use. The property tax has historically been the greatest single source of revenue in Nebraska, but its role has been reduced over the years as legislation has been enacted to control its growth, while increases have been made to the sales tax and income tax. In 1980, property taxes accounted for 46% of overall taxes collected in Nebraska. By 2006, that percentage had been reduced to 34%. The breakdown of the distribution of property tax revenue is presented in Exhibit 4-1. Commission findings. The property tax is one of the oldest forms of taxation in the United States. In every state, property taxes are the major source of revenue for local governments. It was the primary revenue source for both state and local governments until the Great Depression of the 1930s, when most states moved from the property tax in favor of excise, sales, and income taxes. When Nebraska abandoned a state-level property tax in 1966, it joined the majority of states that do not impose the property tax at the state level. Montana, New Hampshire, Vermont, Washington, and Wyoming still receive a substantial portion of their revenue from a state-level property tax, but New Hampshire, Washington, and Wyoming do not impose personal income taxes. In recent years, however, there has been a shift by some states back to a state-level property tax. Several states have reimposed broad-based state property taxes to equalize funding between rich and poor school districts. These include Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Nebraska does not tax intangible property. Once again, Nebraska is in the majority of states in this practice, and there has been a trend in those states, which do impose an intangible property tax to repeal them. Since 1990, Michigan, Florida, North Carolina, and Kentucky have repealed or reduced their intangible property taxes. Some commentators view this disparate treatment of intangible property as a significant problem. Traditional manufacturing firms that have heavy investment in plants and equipment face a much higher property tax burden than do service firms such as accounting, law, engineering, and software companies which derive their value from intellectual property such as a skilled labor force, patents, and copyrights. These kinds of service firms are among the types of businesses that Nebraska is trying to attract. As they become a more important part of the economy, the property tax will capture a relatively smaller proportion of the total returns to capital employed by firms in the state. Nebraska property tax comparisons to other states. There are many types of state property tax comparisons compiled by various organizations. By every measure, Nebraska is a high property tax state. Nebraskans know that property taxes are high, but may not be aware that the percentage of state and local taxes attributable to property taxes has reduced significantly since the 1970s. Exhibit 4.2 shows property taxes as a percentage of state and local taxes from 1977 to 2005 for all states. In 1977, property taxes accounted for 47% of Nebraska's taxes. This percentage has steadily declined to 32% by 2005. At the same time, the national average of the 50 states showed that property taxes accounted for 36% of states' revenue in 1977, declining to 31% in 2005. So while Nebraska's property taxes continue to be a greater percentage of total taxes than the states as a whole, Nebraska is significantly closer to the national average than it was in 1977. Nebraska's 32% is below the neighboring states of Iowa, 34%, South Dakota, 34.7%, Kansas, 33%, and Wyoming, 33%. But percentage of overall state revenue is just one measure. Exhibit 4.3 is a 2006 50 state property tax comparison from the Tax Policy Center. This study shows that when compared to the other states, Nebraska's median tax on residential property is $1,889 per year, which ranks Nebraska as the 17th highest state. Moreover, Nebraska's median home value is significantly lower than most states. Thus, when one computes the tax as a percentage of median home value, Nebraska ranks as the third highest in the nation. Finally, if one uses median owner income as the measure, Nebraska's median property tax is 3.48% of Nebraska's median income, which is the 13th highest of all the states. Finally, Exhibit 4.4 presents a 50-state comparison by the Tax Policy Center, which measures the change in per capita state and local property taxes from 2000 to 2005. The comparison shows that Nebraska's 2000 per capita property tax, measured in 2005 dollars, was $1,027, which rose to $1,195 in 2005, an increase of 16.4%. Nebraska ranks 16th highest in percentage of increase. Property tax relief. States generally choose among three approaches when crafting property tax relief. 1. Targeted relief. 2. Tax limits. And 3. State aid to local governments. Targeted relief. Many states employ property tax relief for certain populations based upon age, disability, or income. These take a variety of forms, including homestead exemption programs, usually for senior and disabled taxpayers, but in some states broad homestead exemptions for all taxpayers. Income-based circuit breaker relief that provides a safety valve against an overload of property tax burden. And programs which allow taxpayers to defer or put off paying property taxes on their home until they move, sell the home, or die. Additionally, some states have offered rebates on property taxes when state funds are available. Homestead exemptions. A homestead exemption provides relief from property taxes by exempting all or a portion of the valuation of the homestead from taxation. Nebraska provides a very limited homestead exemption, which is targeted to provide relief to certain disabled individuals, disabled veterans, and their widows or widowers, and homeowners over age 65 who have limited income. The maximum exemption is the taxable value of the homestead up to $40,000, or 100% of the county's average assessed value of single-family property, whichever is greater. The Nebraska homestead exemption is typical of many states and is narrow in application. It does not provide property tax relief to low-income families under the age of 65, and it does not provide property tax relief to renters, regardless of age. Exhibit 4.5 is a chart showing the homestead exemption relief provided by each state. Targeted relief, like Nebraska's, is common to many states, but some states provide broad relief to all homeowners and others are much more liberal than Nebraska in age limits and income requirements. Property tax circuit breakers. Property tax circuit breakers function much like the electrical devices that shut off electric power to prevent circuits from overloading. Specifically, this type of tax relief is designed to prevent property taxes from overloading a family's budget by shutting off property taxes once they exceed a certain percentage of the family's income. The typical circuit breaker mechanism works as follows. The state establishes a maximum percentage of income that a qualifying household is expected to pay in property taxes. This can range from 1% to 9%, depending on the state. In some states, this percentage varies with the family's income level. The state rebates either all or a portion of tax payments made above this limit. Circuit breakers are generally after-the-fact payments, and taxpayers who participate in these programs are required to pay their entire property tax bills by the regular due dates. Circuit breaker programs are offered in 18 states in a variety of forms, as described in Exhibit 4-6. All of these programs are directly linked to the percentage of income that the family pays in property tax and adhere to the structure discussed above. A number of other states offer similar property tax credits to families who meet certain income requirements but are not dependent on how much of that income goes toward paying property tax. States that employ circuit breakers generally use three criteria to determine eligibility: whether the taxpayer is a homeowner or renter, whether the taxpayer is a senior citizen or disabled, and the income level of the taxpayer. These requirements vary greatly from state to state and significantly affect the breadth of the program and its ability to offset property taxes for families that are in need of assistance. Most circuit breakers are available to renters as well as homeowners, since renters indirectly pay property tax through their rent payments. As shown in Exhibit 4-7, in 2006, circuit breakers were offered to homeowners and renters in 16 states, to only homeowners in one state, and to only renters in one state. In order for a state to provide renters with rebates, it must make an assumption about how much of the rent payment constitutes the property tax. The actual amount of property tax that owners of real estate pass on to renters through higher rent is difficult to determine. This property tax rent equivalent is usually expressed as a percentage of rent paid and ranges from 6% to 25%, as seen in Exhibit 4-8. Participation in 8 of the 18 states with circuit breaker programs is restricted to senior citizens or disabled residents. These groups often are seen as those with the greatest need because they have a limited ability to generate income. Nevertheless, other low-income groups may also face high property tax bills relative to their income. In response, circuit breaker programs in some states include anyone who meets income eligibility requirements so that property tax reductions go to a wider range of needy households. All states set a maximum income or wealth limitation above which households do not qualify for the circuit breaker program. In some cases, these limitations are very restrictive. For example, Oregon's circuit breaker has an income ceiling of $10,000, the lowest in the nation. Other states' income ceilings are much more generous and allow families with moderate incomes or even relatively large incomes to participate if they have high property taxes relative to their income. For example, New Jersey's circuit breaker has an income ceiling of $200,000. However, even with generous income ceilings, participation among middle-income families is limited by the requirement that property tax liability exceed a certain percentage of income. For this reason, even in the absence of restrictive limits, lower-income families are more likely to qualify for a circuit breaker than middle-income families. In general, circuit breakers limited to senior citizens and those with disabilities tend to have stricter income limitations than do circuit breakers that are open to everyone. Of the 8 circuit breaker programs limited to seniors and disabled persons, half have income ceilings between $10,000 and $19,999. Only one circuit breaker program open to everyone has such a low ceiling. On the opposite end of the spectrum, 5 of the 10 states that offer circuit breakers to everyone have income ceilings greater than $70,000. No program limited to seniors and disabled persons has such a high ceiling. Tax limits. Property tax limit measures have principally taken two forms. control of local expenditures through expenditure limits on restricted funds, and levy limits on some of the political subdivisions which levy the property tax. Nebraska utilizes both types of those controls. The principal elements of those two controls are expenditure lids. Nebraska imposes expenditure lids on certain restricted funds for political subdivisions other than schools which are authorized to levy property taxes, as well as a lid on general fund expenditure for schools. Restricted funds are defined to include property taxes, local sales taxes, payments received in lieu of taxes, surpluses generated from a fee-supported activity, like an electric utility, which are budgeted for general uses, and state aid. State aid includes homestead exemption reimbursement, insurance premium tax receipts, street and road funds, municipal infrastructure redevelopment funds, general personal property tax exemption reimbursement funds, equalizing city and county aid, and state aid to community colleges. State law prohibits adopting a budget which contains restricted funds totaling more than the budgeted restricted funds for the previous year, plus 1. A statute orally set percentage allowable growth rate, currently 2.5%, 2. Growth in valuation due to improvements to real property between the two most recent available years, but only to the extent such growth exceeds the basic allowable growth rate of 2.5%. 3. Any carryover of unused budget authority from previous years, including amounts under previous limitations. 4. 1% approved by at least a 3/4 majority vote of the governing body. And 5. Amounts approved by voters. Adjustments are to be made if a subdivision annexes property, transfers responsibility for paying for a government service, or changes fiscal years. There are 6 exceptions to the limitation. 1. Expenditures of restricted funds for capital improvements, defined as real property and improvements. 2. Expenditures of restricted funds to retire bonded indebtedness. 3. Expenditures of restricted funds from a sinking fund set up to fund equipment purchases. 4. Expenditures of restricted funds in support of a jointly financed local service. 5. Expenditures of restricted funds to repair infrastructure damaged by a declared natural disaster. And 6. Expenditures of restricted funds to satisfy judgments, except judgments of the Commission on Industrial Relations. Levy limits. Beginning with fiscal year 1998 to 1999, all political subdivisions with authority to levy property taxes have been operating under levy limits which were designed to limit the maximum property tax which may be levied on any one parcel of property. That limited authority is then allocated among the various political subdivisions, either according to law or using procedures provided by law. The levy limits per $100 of taxable value are as follows: A. School districts or multi-district school systems, $1.05. Excluded from this limitation are bonded indebtedness, which is an exclusion available to all political subdivisions, severance payments made to teachers, and appropriations from the building fund for projects commenced prior to April 1, 1996. Federal aid to school districts may exceed the limits, but only if necessary to qualify for federal impact aid. B. Community colleges, 7 cents. 6 cents may be used for operations, and 1 cent for capital construction. There are certain temporary exceptions to this levy limit. C. Natural resources districts, 4.5 cents, plus any amounts budgeted for groundwater management by an NRD containing a fully appropriated or over-appropriated basin that is in excess of the 2004 to 2005 amount. This groundwater management levy is not to exceed 3 cents for 2006 to 2007, and 2 cents for 2007 to 2008, and 2008 to 2009. There will be no additional levy for later years. D. Educational service units, 1.5 cents. E. Municipalities, 45 cents, except that they may levy up to an additional 5 cents to provide financing for the municipality's share of the revenue required for jointly financed service. Miscellaneous districts created by the city, such as city airport authorities, Community Redevelopment Authorities, and Railroad Transportation Safety District SARDCCLEVI Authority from the city and are counted against the city LEDA cap. F. Sanitary Improvement Districts which have been in existence for more than 5 years, 40 cents. If the SID has been in existence for 5 years or less, there is no limit. G. Counties, 50 cents, except that 5 cents may be levied only to provide the county's share of revenue required for a jointly financed service. From the remaining 45 cents, the county may allocate up to 15 cents to miscellaneous districts. Miscellaneous districts are any political subdivisions created by the county and authorized by law to levy a property tax. These districts are to develop a budget and request authority to levy a property tax from the county board, in which the greatest portion of the valuation is located by August 1. The county board may approve the request, deny it, or approve only a part, but whatever is authorized counts against the overall limits of the county. County boards may not approve requests from different entities which would result in a violation of the overall 45 or 50 cent limit, or which would total more than 15 cents of levy authority for miscellaneous districts to any one parcel in the county, except that the county may allocate its levy authority to one or more miscellaneous districts to provide its share of the taxes required to provide the joint service. H. City or county miscellaneous districts and villages may exceed the levy allocated by the county board by a majority vote of those attending a public meeting of residents at which there is a quorum present of at least 10% of the registered voters in the district. This override authority can be for any amount not to exceed the statutory limit, but will only apply to the fiscal year for which the levy is sought. I. The limits provided above may only be exceeded for property tax levies for judgments not covered by insurance, for lease purchase agreements executed prior to July 1, 1998, for bonded indebtedness, or by a majority vote of the registered voters in the subdivision. State aid to local governments. A third way states assist in lowering local property tax levels is through state financial aid to local governments. States use a myriad of state TRIOCA funding distribution methods, types of revenue sources, and distribution formulas. Education funding formulas are the most common, and the majority of state money provided to local governments is for education. Some state aid formulas are based on population, return of tax dollars to their geographic origin, reimbursement for lost property taxes, and local needs. Local needs formulas are based on the concept that the quality of local public services should not depend on the tax base of the community. Exhibit 49 is a chart prepared by the NCSL, which shows the local general revenues provided by each state in 2002. The chart shows that Nebraska provided only 28.1% of local government revenues, which is the fourth lowest percentage of all states behind only Hawaii, Florida, and South Dakota. Hawaii, however, is unique in that it operates its school system as a single statewide school district, where there is no local funding of schools. Nebraska's 28.1% compares to a national average of 35.7%. When viewed from the perspective of the percentage of overall state revenue sent to local governments, Nebraska sent 36.4% compared to the national state average of 48.9%. Exhibit 410 presents a 50-state comparison specifically about state aid to local government for elementary, secondary public school systems in 2005. Nebraska's 31.1% state contribution is the lowest in the country. Nebraska, state and local, in 2005 spent $9,916 per pupil, which ranked it 23rd among the states. But Nebraska's local government share of that spending was $5,799, which ranked it 10th among the states in local government spending. Moreover, Nebraska is one of only 11 states which does not provide for some state aid to local governments for the construction of new schools. The impact that new school construction has on local property tax burdens is pronounced. In summary, while state aid provided to public education is significant, and Nebraska has taken steps in recent years to increase state aid to local governments by increasing state aid for K-12 education and community colleges, it is considerably less generous than that provided by most other states, and the burden on local government in Nebraska is greater than in most states. The 1988 Syracuse study was quite direct in its assessment of Nebraska's state policy toward local governments. The study stated, "The state of Nebraska's assistance to its local governments is farther out of line with practice in the rest of the country, and from accepted principles of public policy, than any other aspect of public finance in the state. Nebraska's aid to its local government is far below the national average. As a result, the principal tax used by local governments in Nebraska, the property tax, is far above the national average. Many changes have been made in many areas of providing Nebraska state funds to local government." Exhibit 411 is a listing from the Nebraska Department of Revenue of all the state revenues which were distributed to local governments in 2005 to 2006. The total is more than $1.2 billion, which represents a major portion of the total tax collections of $3.8 billion. Taxation of business personal property. Under the Nebraska property tax, depreciable, tangible personal property used in a trade of business subjects to tax at its net book value. Since 1978, business inventories and breeding livestock have been exempt from tax. There has been a trend in other states to eliminate or reduce the tax on personal property used in a trade or business as an incentive to promote business growth in the state. Iowa exempts from the property tax all industrial machinery, equipment, and computers placed in service in Iowa after 1994. Kansas provides that commercial and industrial machinery and equipment is taxed at 25% of assessed value. As part of its major tax reform, Ohio is phasing out its property tax on manufacturing machinery and equipment through 2009, when it will be fully exempt. Nebraska's property tax on agricultural property. As explained in the demographic section of this report, Nebraska looks increasingly like a western state, with two large population centers in the eastern part of the state and a continually decreasing rural population in the rest of the state. As a consequence, the owners of agricultural property in Nebraska face a unique set of property tax issues. More of Nebraska is dependent upon agriculture for property tax purposes than any other Midwest state the states generally use for comparison. Nebraska has 21 counties, where agricultural land comprises 75% of the tax base. In those counties, agriculture and farmers provide almost total support for the local infrastructure. In many other counties, more than 50% of the tax base is agriculture, and the infrastructure is heavily dependent on agricultural support. As these counties continue to lose population and the numbers of farm proprietors decrease, the problem is exacerbated. Comparing Nebraska's property tax treatment of agricultural property to that of its neighboring states is difficult and complex because the states can differ significantly in average farm size, productivity per acre, methods of valuation, and rates of tax. The Nebraska Farm Bureau Federation issued a 2005 Nebraska Agricultural Property Tax Burden Analysis to compare Nebraska to neighboring states and found, for example, that Colorado and Kansas have high agricultural rates, but relatively low values, while Minnesota has low values, but high tax rates. This study compared the property tax on agricultural property in Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming. The study concluded, in part, that because Nebraska does not make the adjustments in either valuation or rates that neighboring states make, Nebraska taxes agricultural property on a higher basis than any of its neighboring states, as measured under several differing criteria. The rural school funding dilemma. The commission received public testimony in North Platte, and several taxpayers offered testimony about the burden of local school funding on agricultural property. In some counties, there is a concern that the voting power of the residents of small towns overwhelms the more limited voting power of the agricultural taxpayers, and that agricultural taxpayers are forced to pay the lion's share of school taxes to fund schools that are used almost entirely by others. The relative lack of state funding for education compared to other states magnifies this problem. One approach that has been suggested to reduce the effect on agricultural taxpayers is to change the way property is classified, such as taxing agricultural property at 100% of value for all county purposes, but at a much lower rate for school funding. The advocates of this approach argue that it more closely ties agricultural property to the services it uses, such as county roads, which is generally the largest county expenditure after education, and provides less reliance on agricultural property for schools, which are used proportionally more by non-agricultural taxpayers. Opponents of this approach contend that tying the amount of tax paid to services used opens a Pandora's box, where every taxpayer can argue that their tax rate should be reduced because they do not utilize certain services. Moreover, this type of classification is clearly impermissible under the Nebraska Constitution and would require a constitutional amendment. There are two other factors which affect the value of some agricultural property in Nebraska. The first is the effect on values due to Section 1031 Exchanges of Property. Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code, IRC, allows taxpayers to defer gain on the sale of real property if it is exchanged for like-kind property. Under the federal tax provisions, taxpayers have a limited period of time after the sale of their property to identify and acquire like-kind property. Section 1031 is widely used in Nebraska for the sale and acquisition of agricultural property. The value of the tax deferral, as well as the legal necessity to acquire new property in a constrained time frame, may result in prices being paid for agricultural property in excess of what would be paid without the Section 1031 tax benefits. Consequently, agricultural property values may be distorted by this federal tax provision. The second factor impacting some agricultural property values in Nebraska is the recent phenomena of large purchases of agricultural land by wealthy individuals who intend to use the land for purposes other than purely agriculture, such as hunting, recreation, or environmental motivation. Several taxpayers raised this issue in public testimony at the Commission's North Platte hearing. The concern expressed was that these types of purchases are often at a price that far exceeds the value that could be justified by agricultural productivity and artificially distort the true value of adjacent properties. However, the Greenbelt provisions were intended to sort out these instances and eliminate this effect. Commission recommendations. In reaching its recommendations regarding Nebraska's property taxes, the Commission took into consideration three important findings. 1. Nebraska's property taxes are high by every measure looked at by the Commission, particularly when taking into account the fact that Nebraska's property values are significantly lower than in many other high property tax states. 2. Nebraska's state aid to local government ranks among the very lowest of all states. 3. Notwithstanding 1 and 2 above, Nebraska's reliance on property taxes as a source of revenue is substantially lower than it was at the time of the last comprehensive study in the 1980s. Moreover, state aid to local government has increased significantly over the past 20 years and is now more than $1.2 billion per year. Based on these findings, the Commission considered a broad range of possible recommended actions for the legislature to consider. The first and most sweeping change would be providing an immediate shift of tax burden from the property tax to the sales tax. For example, Nebraska could raise up to $750 million in additional sales tax revenue through the elimination of most exemptions and the taxation of most services. The sales tax effects of this alternative are described in the sales tax section. The additional revenues could be utilized to provide property tax relief by providing additional state aid to schools, a homestead exemption to each homeowner, or a circuit breaker relief to every homeowner and renter, thereby providing property tax relief at all income levels, but particularly at lower income levels. The positive effect of such a shift would be that Nebraska would immediately move into the mainstream of states in terms of the property tax burden and state aid to local government. Moreover, the reduction in the property tax burden would be relatively progressive in nature. However, there are also significant adverse consequences. The sales tax base would become one of the broadest of all the states, and many popular exemptions would be repealed. Additionally, many Nebraska taxpayers who itemize deductions for federal tax purposes would find that they have a reduction in property taxes, which is deductible for federal tax purposes, but have an increase in sales taxes, which for most Nebraskans is not deductible on the federal tax return. Finally, the Commission expressed concern that this type of major shift from property tax to sales tax would not encourage local governments to continue to restructure and reduce spending, and could even result in more local spending. Unless safeguards were built into the legislation to provide additional spending restrictions, a second position examined by the Commission is to simply continue the course which Nebraska has been on since the 1980s. The changes made by the Nebraska legislature over the past 20 years have provided significant incremental shifts in both tax burdens and increased state aid to local governments. Additionally, many actions have been taken which have reduced the size of local governments and the members of school districts. The Nebraska property tax burden today is still high, but is significantly closer to the national average than when last examined in the Syracuse study. A reasonable case can be made to recommend no fundamental change, but to encourage the legislature to continue its course of continuous, incremental changes. The Commission recommends a middle course of action. As is set forth in detail in the sales tax recommendations, the Commission recommends a critical review of all sales tax exemptions as well as a review of sales tax on all services. Any additional revenue resulting from changes in the taxation of exemptions and services, as well as any other future surpluses, should be directed towards reducing local property tax burdens until they become more in line with national averages. Any resulting property tax relief should be shared by school districts, homeowners, and renters, and should be structured to not encourage more spending at the local level. The Commission recommends that the legislature study the issues identified in the report concerning the valuation of agricultural property and determine whether either a change to an income-based formula for valuing agricultural property or further reduction in the percentage of value of agricultural property which is subject to tax warranted. The Commission also recommends that the legislature re-examine the way that school facilities are funded and consider whether state funds should be utilized to aid in funding school construction. Finally, the Commission recommends that the legislature examine the tax costs and potential economic growth value of eliminating the property tax on tangible personal property used for the production of income.